NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Semi-dudes, welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les. And today, I'm doing a second run of a case I really like. Accidentally.
We've had some bad luck recently with this.
Yeah.
No, it's not bad luck. It's that I'm a fucking idiot and I don't pay attention sometimes. It's my fault.
No, it's not. No, it is. It's because we needed to make this a two-parter. So there you go. This is a two-parter. Anyway, this is part one of a case that you really want to listen to the second half, because the first half is just giving you kind of like the base of the story. Anyway, this case is near and dear to us. Apparently not to everyone, though, because almost everyone I ask does not know what I'm talking about when I say this case. And I'm like, how did you just like fucking cross over your mind? Yeah, I feel like people
This is terrifying.
Yeah, and like, I'm calling you out. Or anyone in your life who this is. Like, people hear stuff on the news and then just, like, kind of, like, want to forget about it.
Yeah.
100%. Which I get. But it's, like, so important. Is it not important to people? I don't know.
Anyway. It's important. It's just, like, people don't like to think about miserable things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, especially, like, parents are like, oh, I just can't imagine it happening to my kids. I'm like, it very well could happen to your kids. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, sources are pretty much Denver 7 News, Crimes of Passion podcasts, the Watts tapes, and interviews from Chris Watts himself. Mm. And so, yeah, this is a so, you know, warning, child murders happen here. Mm-hmm. It's pretty graphic stuff that I won't mention. And then spousal murder. Is that a thing? Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just want to be clear, like, we already know what happened in this case. That's, like, the big difference. Like, well, a few of ours, but, like, this has been overplayed. It's not too complex, necessarily. It's not very mysterious. So, the facts are out there. What you're hearing today is really just, like, me covering those facts. But also, opinions. Everywhere. Opinions.
So many opinions about this case. Everyone has opinions about this case.
I feel like this is the historical case of our generation, because other people had, like, Ted Bundy.
Yeah,
I feel like this is a big one.
So yeah, opinions everywhere. So I'm going to start with Shanann, since this case is all over the place. So Shanann is a really awesome lady. She also dealt with some health problems. She had lupus, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like basically really impacted like every health problem in her life. And she was 25. I think she's also from North Carolina. And yeah, she got married pretty young to this one dude. he was all right, I guess. He was going to law school. He became a lawyer. But Shanann ultimately was just like kind of not happy. She became like this manager of a gas station and saved up to buy a house at like 25.
So dope.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
I want to do that.
Me too.
But I'm already 25.
Yeah.
I think at that time, she pretty much had more health problems than ever at that point in her life, unfortunately. And, you know, the coverage on this case about her, like, she had high standards, but they just made her seem like a bossy person.
The coverage on this case is incredibly misogynistic.
It's terrible. It's awful. All layered with misogyny, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. But, yeah, so what's weird is that when she met Chris, like, firstly, she wasn't looking to date anyone at this point in her life since she was dealing with such health problems, but also she just kind of like had a good head on her shoulders and really didn't need a man. Very independent, you know, yeah, took care of herself. She met Chris, I guess, because they had a mutual friend in common on Facebook. Shanann's friend was Chris's brother's girlfriend.
Okay.
Or sister's boyfriend, something like that. She knew a relative of Chris, essentially. They were good friends with Shanann, like best friends. And so at first he messaged her and she was like, I'm not really interested. It's kind of weird. This guy's just reaching out to me on Facebook.
Same. It's weird. Don't do it.
Was persistent, to say the least. apparently, which is interesting. Yeah, Chris is like a really passive person, which doesn't surprise me that he's picking up girls online. Like, man, not that that's anything. Like, go to the Facebook dating app. I don't know if they had that this time, though. So,
yeah,
you know, but Chris has explained that he's always been really shy around women and he doesn't really know how to talk to them in person. So having that like filter online was really helpful for him. And at this time, he was like heavier set than what we know him as in tabloids and such.
I feel like this is so interesting because I feel like this is a part people just ignore when we talk about this case.
His self-esteem.
Yeah, yeah. His self-esteem and just like
his ego.
That had a very big part in it.
It's probably the part in it. So yeah, he was super shy. Shannon was like, all right, let's see what this guy's about. I'll let him take me to dinner. She notices right off the bat that he's like, doesn't really present well. Like, he didn't shave for the date. You know, he's not wearing like decent clothes. He didn't have any plans to where they were going to take her, you know, like he was just kind of really more casual than she would like. And she called him out for it on the first date too. It's like, boom, you notice their dynamic literally that time. Yeah, she just wants him to be better and he's not naturally that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's being himself, he was being himself. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, Shannon was also the first serious relationship he had by this time.
And he's how old?
He was 20. He's 25 when they met as well. Or maybe a little older. I guess that's not unheard of if you're super immature or like shy around women too. But yeah, I guess that's not unheard of, but sort of strange. And from the like the sound of it, it wasn't just like a serious relationship. It was like he may have had hookups. It's not even like flings that became semi-serious. He was just very like to himself. I think he was still living with his parents when they met, if I'm not mistaken. Which is really fucking weird.
That's interesting.
Do you think that's like a self-esteem thing too? Like not dating for that long?
So I think it's just like a lot of things. Like Chris is, like I said, a very passive person to me. I think he probably just goes through the motions of life. But around 25, like, he was really close to his parents. Yeah. He would probably tell you that they were his best friends, you know?
What's that like?
So it just like apparently I think that Chris's relationship to his parents was really the reason why he was living with them still. He just was super attached and super close. So when Shannon came into the picture, there was always issues between his folks and her. And I ultimately think it's because she was just like, yeah, high expectations are good. Unless they are put onto an unrealistic person who can never attain those. So it just always sounds like you're bossing them around or criticizing them. When it's not, you're just kind of explaining, like, these are the standards I live up to. But she should have probably just realized, like, you can't change Chris.
Right.
You know? But Chris wanted to be changed is the thing. Which is why he really needed her. So I think, like, she pretty much gave him a lot of independence from his parents. And his mom hated her for it. She never liked her. You get Chris's dad, probably exactly like Chris, super passive, super this, right? And then his mom is like the alpha female in his life. Yeah, I don't know their family dynamic because Chris is literally like talking to a fucking cucumber with emotion. Like, that's all he has is that level. The whole thing about his parents, like, Shannon was always expressed like they thought she was bossy is the word that they used towards her.
Yeah.
Even though she was like a great woman, like any man would be lucky to have her, and in-laws too, because she was just really strong mother. And also loved Chris, like made him a better person, basically. That wasn't her responsibility,
right?
And so there was even a time like Chris's mom felt so strongly about Shannon wanted, because she was thinking about, they were thinking about getting engaged at this point. I think they had been together for like 2 to 3 years before they got engaged. But she wanted them to meet, like, their parents, both Chris's and hers, to meet and at this little barbecue. And Chris's mom is, like, talking to Shannon's mom and is like, I don't really think your daughter loves my son.
What the fuck? Why would you say something like that?
Isn't that strange?
It's weird. I hate that.
Not the time or place. And, like, what the fuck? Well, I think
that's such a common thing that, like, when we think about people or just parents, they have some sort of expectation for you to do things. Like, they want to live vicariously through you.
Yes.
So you get no freedom That's they want to control every aspect of your life.
Exactly.
It's narcissist shit. Precisely. It's like toxic as fuck behavior. Makes for toxic as hell in-laws.
It's quite obvious there are zero boundaries. Yeah. That is not a place that you bring up that kind of topic. And also, how dare you? Like, what do you want her mom to do about that?
Yeah, right.
You want her to break them up or something, you little weirdo?
Right.
The fuck? Like, they're 25 or plus at this point. Yeah. Like, 27.
Yeah. Anyway. And, like, yeah. There, women are never, no woman is ever good enough for mothers like that. Mm-hmm. No one.
What it was.
No one. Oh, it doesn't matter who it is.
Also because Shannon would say that she wasn't very impressed by Chris and would say mm-hmm. stuff like, he's not the kind of guy that I'm usually into. Yeah, so she would say, like, Chris is not usually the type of dude that she would date. And I think by that, like, you know, her ex was a lawyer.
Right.
Like, very driven.
I think they also don't like to hear the criticism of their own parenting. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of what a criticism.
Just makes me so uncomfortable to listen to this family dynamic. Because I'm like, fucking yikes.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like, to Shannon, the reason why she was interested in Chris was not only because he was persistent, but also because she just, like, let him into her life at a very vulnerable state with her health issues, where she, like, really honestly needed someone. And Chris was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even went with her to a colonoscopy.
I think we talked about that last time we recorded this as well.
Now,
yeah, that shit sucks.
And so later, when they get married, Shannon became a very, I guess, invested businesswoman. And Chris's background, you know, the first thing that always comes to mind is how many fucking times I hear the police say he just really doesn't fit the type for a murderer.
Yes, he does.
It's like, yes, he. What the fuck does that mean? He does.
He does.
He does.
He, like, checks. Can we identify them easier than you?
He checks every family annihilator box.
And it's
every
just like, keep that stuff to yourself because it's not a safe situation. You don't need to distance yourself for the public or to make yourself feel safe. It's not helpful in the situation at all. It doesn't change the fact that he is a murderer.
Right.
Yeah. He totally did it. After a few months of dating, they started talking about marriage. Essentially, they started realizing that they pretty much needed their space from their in-laws, basically. And Shannon and him and Chris visited Colorado for some friends. And I think it was just the matter that it is a whole different state. But also, it's very beautiful here, and they basically fell in love with it.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention this. Research indicates issues with in-laws, cause strain on relationships. They're one of the top three issues in marriages. Mm-hmm. But yeah, also, she, this Dr. Terry Adler from University of Cambridge says that she was shocked how often men choose to protect their mothers over their wives. Yeah. And it leads to feelings of betrayal and resentment. And here we are.
Yeah.
Obviously, moving to Colorado, like, talons out, right? This did not make Chris's family happy. It was probably one of the bigger issues in their marriage. Yeah, that they would just constantly fight about. It's like, why would I have to leave? But it's like, Chris, you are just stuck to this, and your partner is like, let's go, like, getting him out of his cage, right?
Right.
But anyway, so it's when they move here, they, I don't know if Shannon sold her house. I'm assuming she did, because I don't know how they bought the house here.
Yeah,
this was like $400,000 house. Jesus. That they did not have Jesus. That kind of money for. Mm-hmm. So they buy a house out here, get into a shit ton of debt, because Shannon tries to go to nursing school, accrues debt there, and then she's pregnant. So yeah, and then it kind of starts, well, actually, just to talk a bit more about the finances, mm-hmm. it's my understanding that the couple, like, wasn't in the best place when they moved here, right? But let's see, Chris was the only one working for a bit.
Okay.
And he sold his truck for, like, less than it was worth. Mm-hmm. And it, like, basically drove Shannon crazy because she's pregnant, right? She's, like, really worried about finances. And so she stopped letting him control his own finances.
That's weird.
Yeah,
it's very weird. Very red flag, both.
Well,
pairs.
And, like, there's some situations where, like, if that's the agreed upon way that you will handle things in a relationship, like, that's non-abusive.
Right.
However, it's when you two didn't make that agreement.
Right, you take that control.
Yeah, you take that control away from a person,
that's where we start getting concerned.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They both agreed upon it, but it's still not very healthy in this case because it basically just showed that, like, A, Chris is not trusted with finances. Weird thing with adults, right? Mm-hmm. But also that Shanann was okay with taking care of literally everything, but he relinquishes a certain level of responsibility because it's like you're fucking kid and you like to be parented that way, mm-hmm. but you resent her for also being your parent at the same time. It's like you're a kid, you're a child, you're a teenage boy.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, like, did he agree to it, or yes. was he just too passive to say, mm-hmm. I don't like this?
Both. Yeah. Like, we're talking that Chris would get his fucking bank checks or his checks from work and just hand them to Shanann.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's really strange.
Well, and I will say this. I was raised in a home where my mom is the one who makes all the money for the really? Household. And my dad, because my mom gets too anxious with looking at bills and paying bills, it'll fill up her entire mind.
Sure.
So she tells my dad to do it for her.
Yes.
And it's like, that's a healthy way of exchanging that.
Of course. Yeah.
That's not what we see here.
Yeah. No. I take care of the bills in my house, but it's because I remember to do it.
Yeah.
If I let him do it, he forgets, you know?
Yep.
Yep. I personally am very financially independent that I never, like, share that kind of stuff.
You know? And I'm married. That's why
of course,
we,
that's
you know.
A difference. Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's, like, joint bank accounts and shit. Yeah.
Right.
I think from my
upbringing,
wouldn't
I just
never
that.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've never had an issue. Like, my partner and I are pretty much living together, and it's, we're always still just asking, okay, do you want to pay for this? Am I paying? We're eternally dating, essentially.
At a certain point, joint makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, all this is good to say, but no. For them,
still weird.
It was weird signs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, basically, after Chris finds a pretty stable job, Bella is born. Bella Watts is born in 2013. That's where we're at on the timeline here in Colorado. They don't have a lot of friends at this point. You know, they had the handful of friends that came over, but Shanann makes a shit ton of fucking Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. She starts going kind of Facebook crazy. This is like where we first see her attachment to social media. Is when Bella's born. She basically documents everything.
I hate
everything.
That.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like Bella's journey. It's like she's got a whole name for this kind of compilation on Facebook. But people watch it. Mm-hmm. But you can see that she was like really in love with buying stuff for the baby,
mm-hmm.
like clothes and bunch of stuff that they probably couldn't afford. And Chris just saw that more as hypocritical in the sense of like, yeah, you get to buy all this stuff, but I'm making money. So just like a lot of control over the situation. He doesn't feel like he has much of say over his finances as well. There's also a video online of when so unfortunately by the time Bella's born, they're still in pretty rot financially, and then there's a second baby on the way, Celeste. She's born in 2015, mm-hmm. so not too far apart. There's a video online of him like pretending to be Santa because Shanann wants him to,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like that same face and like expression that he has on the video that most people know when Nico's announced.
Yeah,
that whole thing starts pretty early from signs of the videos that are posted online. It just was very strange. Like, it seemed like Shanann was forcing him to get dressed. Like, that's kind of weird,
that's
right?
That's weird to be able to see that through social media and, like, the documentation of how things got to where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary because you can imagine this, like, with your loved ones. You can, like, really see that happening right now, and it's scary. This could happen to anyone.
Yeah. No, it's really creepy to see. Like, you can see how he's just pissed about the whole thing. Like, I don't want to put on this stupid suit. Like, it's the whole nine yards too. But it's not uncommon. I know a lot of people are obsessed with Christmas, so you know, but like, if you're really fucking mad about it, say no to your wife.
Yeah
just don't do it. I mean, if there's like, you're scared what will happen if she says no.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
This know? It's a weird dynamic. This relationship's
it
a weird dynamic.
You should still be asking for consent on everything.
Yep.
No matter how long your relationship is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always on the side that a toxic relationship takes two. It's just that it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's definitely not, no one's at fault here, but you're seeing what led up to the event.
Yeah, right? And I would argue this is like unhealthy behaviors bordering on abusive.
Yeah.
But we're not at the line yet where it's like, oh, my God, this is abuse. You know what I mean?
These people really do not mesh. They're like puzzle pieces that are trying to.
It's not working.
To get back.
It's not working.
There's a very clear line of just like toxicity versus abuse.
Yeah. You don't have to be abusive to be toxic.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like the thing of like relationships can be unhealthy, but unhealthy doesn't necessarily equate to abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, it can go there, but.
Yeah.
That's not every situation we see.
So it's like we should look at this from a lot of different angles.
And I think you're right. There's a lot, and this happens in a lot of relationships. There's a lot of mutual toxicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just to stray from the idea that this was just random. Like, honestly, a lot of this case is just like people saying, like, you can never tell they had relationship problems from the outside. And yes, you can. You can tell that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that, like, these are people who know them better, too, and, like, can't see.
Exactly.
It's weird.
Exactly. Or they're really good at fucking hiding it, which is normal, also. Like, they are living a sham.
True.
And they don't want people to see how, and especially how with social media, like, they're kind of always using that mask in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, it just seemed like finally Chris was starting to realize. I don't know if it's because he was older and just snapped out of it, like is realizing his habits, but he made some big commitments really fucking fast in his life that I think kind of sunk in exactly what that meant responsibility wise. I think that happens a lot with people who marry young as well. Like you start to realize like, oh, I'm more mature now as I'm 28 and realizing like all the things that I was passive on growing up. And yeah, that's what's happening to Chris. I feel like he also just feels like since Shannon is pregnant with Celeste. I think at this point she's born. And he's working mostly. And I don't know if Shannon had issues holding down a profession. It sounded like she did, honestly. And I think it could be because of her
health.
Lupus, which causes depression and is hard to
and
work
all kinds
with
and
of deal with.
Issues and chronic pain.
All sorts of shit. Yes, chronic pain.
Yeah.
But I think Chris couldn't really get past, which is really annoying. It's like she's not trying to be a burden. She actually just needs you as a partner at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and she's into the social media stuff for business reasons too, right?
Only until after Celeste was born.
Oh,
like
okay.
Probably a couple. Celeste might have been like one or two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for the most part, Chris was like, Shanann was pregnant. So I'm imagining that Chris was the most breadwinner of the family for about since Bella was born to a little after Celeste's, which is not a big deal when your when the freaking mom is sick.
Right.
She's sick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Shannon starts her job. This is like a weight loss supplement job.
MLMs.
Pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
No offense. But honestly, Shannon believed in the product and believed in what it could do. I think Chris also used the product when he started to lose weight himself.
Huh.
Yeah, the product, from what it sounds like, is like those types of caffeine pills.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mention it. Because at the end of this whole thing, Chris kind of talks about it with officials that might have altered his mood and kind of made him more aggressive.
Yeah.
It could, right?
Yes.
They do. Stimulant.
Yes.
I think he was taking it at the time that this all unfolds, like throughout the whole time. So, yeah.
So truthfully, it does not help.
No, not at all.
Imagine if you had like 4 or 5 Red Bulls or just like you just drink coffee all day like me.
Yeah, the anxiety. You don't usually do that.
Yeah.
And he probably likes the way it makes him feel, so he's probably overusing the amount.
Yeah, because normal people don't do that. You and I are a different breed. I think less too with the caffeine.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to know that usually I have 3 beverages going at any given time, and it is a known fact.
Minimum 3.
At least 2 of them have caffeine, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 has alcohol. No, I'm just kidding. No. So, no, yeah, totally not cool. Do we have, like, a relation between, like, steroids and
Robin
as well?
Oh, yes.
Really? Interesting.
Oh, yes.
So that's a fucking fun fact about the pressures of society, right, on our bodies, and that we take those things no matter how much they make us fucking feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we like how they make us feel as drugs. Chris is resenting Shanann. He's resenting his life. He regrets his decisions. He's like, fuck, I married and had kids. What the fuck did I think I was doing? So yeah, Shanann's kind of doing well selling her brand. She basically makes it, her Facebook is now her business account / personal account, which is really fun to watch people with no boundaries. Yeah, so on top of like that just like happy-go-lucky lifestyle, Chris is losing weight. He's working at the same place, which he makes a good amount of money. I'm imagining he makes enough to sustain them, but not enough to keep them out of debt. Like, they are suffering still. Mm-hmm. But she apparently is making more money, so she makes it her full-time job, is the brand selling. It's through this, they declare bankruptcy. Also another top issue in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this time... is what time of year is this? I think this is like 2017 probably at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the time or 28. This happened in 2018, right?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, we're about 2017, if not 2018 at this point. There was a video I mentioned earlier, but this is kind of where the tipping point of the couple's downfall on social media happens. So Shanann has no idea what is going on in her secret husband's life outside of their house. She is pregnant again with the third child, yes, after they declare bankruptcy, and records Chris's basically reaction when she tells him that she's pregnant again with a boy this time. And it's supposed to be really cute. She like makes this really cute fucking t-shirt that is just so annoying to me right now. It's like, oops, we did it again, is what it says. And I'm like, that is so fucking not funny. We did it again. And that's exactly how Chris's reaction is. It's like, what? Oh, fucking really? You know, but he tries to like kind of keep it PG for the camera and like as excited as possible. Mm-hmm. But little does Shanann know, Chris is not there in that moment. He's already started falling in love with someone else. So that's about where we'll leave it there. But yeah, it's just like, if you are upset and unhappy in your relationship, it's not your kid's fault. Exactly. It's not your kid's fault. Just leave. Get a fucking divorce. This is where he had the opportunity to express what was happening and communicate and do it in a healthy way.
Yeah. Family annihilators are disgusting because you could just... go. You could just go.
It doesn't have a lot to do with that, I'm assuming, right?
What do you mean?
Like, where does the line cross where it's like, yes, you and I, we have relationship problems. We fight.
Sure.
I don't feel those things about killing my family.
No.
No.
So does it really have a lot to do with them already? Like, do we know if it's like they could have been murderers before becoming family annihilators? Like, we don't know. We don't know. Chris would never tell us if he ever fucking killed something before that, but just really,
I feel like
hard for me to believe that that's a first instance for someone, you know?
I think it is for a lot of people. Seriously. Though. They snap.
There's that word.
It's the resentment. It's the bottling up. It's the pushing it down and never dealing with it because there's no communication. And then they explode and kill their family or light their house on fire or blow it up with their kids inside of it or something.
Yeah. And in this case, I mean, you're right. Like, it's very not often that I see that they're couples dealing with this sort of financial distress.
Yeah, this is a lot.
This is big.
Yeah. But it's a big indicator for a lot of family annihilation as well.
Wow. And now I feel like this is a good example of how social media also has a big hand in like how that can alter a relationship.
Yeah.
So like I feel like now we have a new narrative we need to look at in this as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, because it's pushing this constantly happy, positive, yes, our life is great narrative when clearly there's shit behind the scenes.
Studies show that in fact you're more depressed if you use social media that often. It could be because of your depression or causing your depression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll come back with part two.
And if you think about the other people that like the other people we've covered, the patterns are the same.
They are.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah.
It just, man, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around this one. And I guess, we just don't know enough about their background to ever know what they were capable of prior to this. But I would bet money that he does something, right? There's something that lets out that rage prior to. Because I think it's almost like because of his resentment towards his mom, is his resentment towards women. Like, whoever stepped into his life, Shanann's very dominant personality. But I think it would have happened
to
anyone.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the research shows that family annihilators are almost always men.
Yep.
It's a very low percentage of women who do that. Come back next week. Come we'll finish it up. Two. if you want to see some pictures, go check out our Instagram. Mm-hmm. Not a Boogeyman.
And if you would like to see the blog post on this, where we'll have pictures and have everything written out for you guys, please visit namnab.com. We got cool shit on there.
And if you haven't already, join our Patreon. We do have cool stuff there already, and we'll be adding more. Just trying to get our numbers up. So, yeah. Come back next week. Bye.
Bye.